Welcome to the Open Archive, the Wilson's publicly accessible space dedicated to our archival collections. The Wilson holds a large archive of material on paper, from posters of Cheltenham's theatres to watercolours by Edward Adrian Wilson, from images of Cheltenham scenes to private press books. Please follow the arrow through the door signposted Open Archive. The door is heavy, so please give it a good push. You can open the first three drawers of the cabinets to discover our collection in more detail. Look for the open labels on the drawers. Edward Adrian Wilson. As you enter the space, the four cabinets along the wall to your right tell the story of Dr. Edward Adrian Wilson, the Cheltenham-born Antarctic scientist and artist. The first cabinet focuses on Wilson's family and early life in Cheltenham. Wilson was one of 10 children born to local doctor, Dr. Edward Thomas Wilson, and scientific farmer, Mary Agnes Wilson. He was born in Cheltenham in 1872. Throughout his childhood, he spent time at the family home in Westall and at the farm his mother rented, the Crippets. It was there that Wilson developed his love of nature and wildlife. As a young boy, he wanted to be a naturalist, but was encouraged to study medicine instead. During his time at the University of Cambridge, Wilson combined his knowledge of medicine with his talent for drawing by creating pathological drawings which illustrated medical papers for his tutors. Please feel free to open the first three drawers to learn more about his early years. The next cabinet highlights Wilson's work as an artist. Wilson, from an early age, was a keen artist. His parents noted that he was always drawing, and he was a self-taught artist. The only formal training he had were the art classes at Cheltenham College. Wilson favoured drawing wildlife, but was also skilled at landscapes and architectural drawings. While recovering from tuberculosis in Switzerland, he challenged himself to try and sketch the alpine scenery and capture the complex colours of snow. It was during this time that he perfected his colour notation technique. This was where he was able to make pencil sketches with colour notes and accurately paint up the picture later, a technique which would be helpful during his time in Antarctica. Please open the first three drawers below to see more of Wilson's works. The third cabinet shares with you the story of Wilson's scientific work in Antarctica. Wilson visited Antarctica twice, both times with Captain Robert Falcon Scott. The first was on the ship Discovery, and the second was on the Terra Nova. On Terra Nova, he was the chief of scientific staff and the ship's doctor. He is considered the last expedition artist, and part of his role was to draw the landscapes and wildlife of Antarctica. Terra Nova was the first time that a professional photographer visited Antarctica. Herbert Ponting considered himself a camera artist and taught the other crew members how to take photographs. This is one reason that there are so many amazing images from Terra Nova today. After Terra Nova, it became standard practice for a photographer to accompany teams to Antarctica rather than an expedition artist. Antarctica had been visited by the Maori people from 7th century, but it remained largely unvisited by Western countries for centuries. This drove different nations to attempt to be the first to claim the continent. This included documenting its natural history, geology, and physical science. Wilson was especially interested in learning more about the emperor penguins, which were a largely unknown species in Europe at the time. Wilson was one of the first people to record that emperor penguins laid their eggs in the middle of the Antarctic winter. To learn more about Wilson's work as a scientist, please feel free to open the first three drawers. The final cabinet showcases the legacy of Wilson's work. Wilson was one of five men selected by Captain Robert Falcon Scott to join him on his journey to the South Pole. Wilson, Scott, Henry Bowers, Edgar Evans, and Lawrence Oates arrived at the South Pole on 17 January 1912, about a month after Roald Amundsen's team had reached it. While the others expressed anger at being beaten to the pole, Wilson sketched the scene. He was more interested in learning about Antarctica than he was about winning the unofficial race. As they returned, they collected rock samples, some of which proved that Antarctica and Australia had once been connected. They continued to take weather readings and recorded their progress in journals. The journey took a physical, psychological, and emotional toll on the men. Evans was the first to pass away. Wilson believed from injuries sustained from a fall. Oates developed frostbite. He left the others and died by suicide. Scott, Wilson, and Bowers were only 20 kilometres from the prearranged supply depot when they got caught in a 9-day blizzard. All three died of exposure and starvation. They were found 8 months later. Their tent was lowered over them, and a cairn of ice and rock marks their final resting place. Wilson's scientific and artistic work highlighted the need to conserve penguins, and he recorded the changes to the pack ice. His drawings are used as a baseline for monitoring the changes in the Antarctic environment and geography. The meteorological readings collected provide important data for studying climate change. To learn more about Wilson's legacy, please open the first three drawers below. Spa water. To learn about Cheltenham's spa water story, please walk back to the group of four cabinets on your right, nearest to the open archive entrance. The spa water story begins in the first cabinet. Before the discovery of the spa water, Cheltenham was a typical market town. Little did the residents of Cheltenham know the impact the spa water would have. The official date of discovery of the spa water is 1716, when it is reported that locals notice pigeons pecking at the salt deposits around a spring in a field to the south of the town, which explains why pigeons are on Cheltenham's town crest. The field, which is where Cheltenham Ladies' College stands today, was owned by William Mason. After Mason's death, his daughter, Elizabeth, and son-in-law, Captain Henry Skillinghorn, inherited the land. They relocated to Cheltenham and in the late 1730s began to commercialise the spring. This was the start of Cheltenham's development as a health tourism resort. It was believed that the spa water could cure a wide range of issues, such as pimples, leg ulcers, nervous diseases, chronic eye inflammations, and female diseases, whatever that means. Health tourists would visit Cheltenham for the fresh air and the waters, but we need to be mindful that 18th and 19th century medicine was not as advanced as it is today and was not regulated. This means that some of the claims could have been made by unscrupulous people hoping to profit from the flood of tourists to the town. The reputation of Cheltenham as a spa town was considerably enhanced when King George III, Queen Charlotte, and three of their daughters spent 5 weeks in the town in 1788. George visited Cheltenham for the health benefits that spa water was thought to bring. George felt rejuvenated from his visit to Cheltenham, which the town greatly profited from, and the visit raised its profile as a spa of national importance. The first three drawers below have further objects relating to Cheltenham's spa water story. Topographical prints. As you walk to the cabinet to the left of the spa water story, you will discover historic drawings of Cheltenham. The Wilson holds many topographical prints. These drawings were used to record accurate information about Cheltenham and the surrounding area, usually for a specific purpose. As Cheltenham's reputation as a health tourist destination grew, visitors wanted a memento of their visit, resulting in a fashion for topographical views of the town. These prints mean that we can experience what Cheltenham would have looked like over 200 years ago. Please open the first three drawers to look at more historic drawings of Cheltenham. Now walk to the cabinet behind the topographical prints. Cheltenham's growth in popularity didn't just focus on the health benefits of the spa water. Other industries grew up around the town, and with these industries came workers. Cheltenham saw a huge population increase, which meant lots more service industries were needed. Servants to clean houses and wait on people, as well as shops supplying visitors with clothes, food, toiletries, snuff, tobacco, and souvenirs. With an expanding population, there was an increase in tradesmen such as builders, carriage builders, sedan chair carriers. This not only resulted in a huge rise in property development for all levels of society, but also the whole axis of the town changed. Historically, the central street of Cheltenham was the High Street, but with all the development around Skillicorn Spa, the central street changed to the promenade, with housing developments at Royal Crescent, Bayshill, and Lansdowne being built. All this development made Cheltenham a busy and bustling centre of commerce, but it also made it popular with beggars, pickpockets, brothels, and other similar industries, which have been a feature of all towns and cities throughout history. To learn more about the different industries within Cheltenham, please open the first three drawers below. Play. Now walk to the next cabinet, where you will learn about Cheltenham's entertaining past. Social industries also developed in Cheltenham, such as the entertainment industry. This was a big draw for visitors and residents alike. Cheltenham developed a lively theatre scene. The famed tragic actor Sarah Siddons performed at the Theatre Royal in Cheltenham. Cheltenham was the first place she performed Venice Preserved, a tragic play by Thomas Otway, which focuses on love, betrayal, and political intrigue. She also stayed at Birch Farm near Clarence Square during a period of ill health. The Royal Theatre was also a popular venue, but it was burnt down due to being lit by candlelight. The Everyman Theatre now stands in its place. Going to the theatre was a very different experience to what it is like today. It was similar to a variety performance. There were lots of small sketches or shows rather than one big play. They quite often involved fireworks being let off in the theatre. If theatre wasn't your thing, you could go to dances, though there was a strict etiquette about who you could dance with, or how about a musical concert. If you prefer to spend your time outdoors, you could promenade up and down the promenade. This tree-lined avenue was the place to walk about to show off your clothes or chat to friends or potential love interests. These were places to be entertained, but they were also places to see and be seen. This meant a great demand for the most fashionable shops. You can't go to the evening's entertainment and not look the epitome of style. For the visitors to Cheltenham, it was the ultimate pleasure town, catering to your every whim or desire. You can find out more about Cheltenham's entertaining past by opening the first three drawers below. Cheltenham today. Now walk to the next group of cabinets, starting with the first one on the right. We are all part of Cheltenham's history. This cabinet allows you to explore what was happening in Cheltenham in the 20th and 21st centuries. Cheltenham's position as a spa town lessened over time, and other industries became much more prominent, turning the town into a centre for business and administration. Due to the good transport links, employers such as Doughty Aerospace, now GE Aerospace, Smiths Aerospace, now GE Aviation, Eagle Star, now Zurich, the Universities and Colleges Administration Service, UCAS, and the Government Communications Headquarters, GCHQ, moved to Cheltenham. Cheltenham remained a popular tourist destination and opened its own museum in 1907 to share the history and heritage of the town. Since the Second World War, the Cheltenham festivals have proved popular with visitors from around the world, as are the National Hunt racing festivals. Over 6,000 people still work in Cheltenham tourism's industry today. Cheltenham's entertainment legacy also continued. It hosted the Beatles, Jimi Hendrix, and was the hometown of Brian Jones, a founding member of the Rolling Stones. In the 21st century, the town has seen the impact of the 2007 summer floods and the COVID-19 pandemic, but also happier times with the 2012 Olympic torch relay coming to the town and the Stage 7 finish for the Tour of Britain cycle race in 2017. The town continues to evolve and develop in new, exciting and interesting ways. To find out more about Cheltenham today, please open the first three drawers. Numismatics. In the cabinet to the left, you will learn about the Wilson's Numismatic Collection. Numismatics is the study of coins, medals, and related currency items. The Wilson has over 5,000 coins in its collection, ranging from ancient Greek and Roman ones right up until the present day. Two local hoards feature in the collection. A hoard is an archaeological term for a collection of valuables, sometimes purposefully buried in the ground. The Wilson holds the Willacy Hoard and the Winchcombe Hoard. The Willacy Hoard contains 56 late Roman silver coins, and the Winchcombe Hoard contains 251 late medieval coins. Many people in history would bury their valuables during times of trouble or upheaval to keep them safe, and with the hope of returning and uncovering them. It is believed that the Winchcombe Hoard was buried during the English Civil War in the 17th century. The collection contains tokens which commemorate local or national events such as George III's visit to Cheltenham in 1788. There are medals in the collection, including military medals which relate to major conflicts for the past 200 years, and non-military medals created to mark special events. Banknotes are also part of the collection. The Wilson holds notes from 1812 to the 1980s and include ones issued from the Cheltenham and Gloucestershire Bank, the Winchcombe Bank, and the Gloucester City Old Bank. To find out more about our numismatic collection, please feel free to open the first three drawers. Archaeology. In the cabinet behind the numismatic collection, you will discover archaeological remains. Walk over to this cabinet to learn more. Archaeology enables us to travel back in time to learn more about the people who lived hundreds and sometimes thousands of years ago. Often the only way to do this is through studying the objects, structures, and other remains they left behind. The story of these people's lives are either not recorded in historical documents or recorded in a way which continues negative stereotypes. The Wilson now focuses its collecting on archaeological remains which tell us more about the people who previously lived in Cheltenham. It focuses on people from prehistory, Roman Britain, Anglo-Saxons, and the medieval period. Much of the collection has been found where archaeologists have undertaken excavations ahead of planned developments or to learn more about a previously excavated site. Some of the objects have been found by chance, either by workmen or metal detectorists. The objects in the collection can range in size from the smallest arrowhead to a large lead cistern. The Wilson's archaeology collection does include objects from around the world, including Greece, Europe, and Egypt. These objects made their way into the Wilson's collection through private donations and are not actively collected by the Wilson today. World archaeology enables us to learn more about how different cultures influenced each other and Britain. They demonstrate the interconnectedness of experiences and help us to learn more about the world we live in. To view the archaeology collection, please open the first three drawers below. Natural sciences. Walk to the left of the archaeology cabinet to learn about natural sciences in the Wilson's collection. Natural science is the study of physical and biological sciences, covering geology, herbaria, and biology. These collections are of great scientific interest as they enable us to learn more about the Earth's non-human history. The Wilson holds an important geology collection of around 14,000 specimens, some as old as 600 million years from the Cheltenham area. The collection also contains minerals, fossils, rocks, gemstones, ores, ornamental stones, soil samples, gravels, and borehole cores, as well as a small but significant collection of Antarctic rocks brought back by Edward Adrian Wilson. The Wilson also has a large herbaria collection. A herbarium is a collection of preserved plant specimens kept for scientific study. The Wilson holds a variety of different herbaria collected by different botanists, including Edward Adrian Wilson and his father, Edward Thomas Wilson. The Natural Sciences collection also includes shells, eggs, and some examples of local Victorian taxidermy. You can learn more about the Natural Sciences collection in the drawers below. World cultures. The Wilson holds objects from around the world, many of which were brought back to Cheltenham in the early 20th century, when it was becoming a popular retirement town for colonial administrators and military personnel. This collection enables us to think more deeply about the impact Cheltenham has had on the world and how the world has influenced Cheltenham in return. It demonstrates our interconnectedness with the past, present, and future. The collection is small but significant. Many objects are originally from Africa, India, and China, along with a small number from Australia, Japan, and the Americas. The British Empire has had a lasting impact on many towns, cities, and countries around the world. It is widely acknowledged that these objects, cultures, and people were not treated with the respect and understanding that they should have been. The Wilson is working hard to redress this imbalance through learning more about the objects and their relationship to their source communities, as well as through interpreting and displaying the objects and their stories in respectful and meaningful ways, and by acknowledging the ongoing legacy of colonialism still being felt today. To learn more about these collections, please open the first three drawers below. Emery Walker Library. Now look for the cabinets with bookcases on top of them. These hold the Emery Walker Library. Emery Walker was a printer, private press publisher, and book collector. He was an important figure in the arts and crafts movement in the late 19th and early 20th century. The Emery Walker Library was acquired by the Wilson in 1990 and is now stored in the Open Archive. Emery Walker's library includes his books, letters, photographs, and items relating to his career in printing. Walker was born in London and the son of a coach builder. When Walker was 13 years old, he left school and began working to help support his family. He got a job at the Typographic Etching Company and worked with books for the rest of his life. Walker lived his whole life in London. At one point, he lived on the same street as William Morris. They met through the socialist movement, which Morris championed, and developed a close friendship through their shared interest in books, architecture, and design. Walker would go on to assist Morris in setting up his Kelmscott Press. He later set up his own press, the Doves Press, and ran a highly successful photographic reproduction company, Emery Walker Limited, which specialised in reproducing fine art in books. He loved the city, but he also appreciated the countryside. His wife, Mary Grace, lived with chronic illnesses, so spent much of her time living in country houses rented by Walker. His friendships with the arts and crafts community meant that he regularly visited Morris's Kelmscott Manor. Along with visiting Ernest Jimson and Stanley and Ernest Barnsley in Sapperton. At the end of his life, he rented Daneway House near Cirencester and is buried in Sapperton Churchyard. The Wilson holds an internationally important designated collection of the British Arts and Crafts Movement. You can learn more about the movement in the Arts and Crafts Gallery on the second floor. Please feel free to open the first three drawers in each of these cabinets to find out more about the Arts and Crafts Movement. 3D objects. The back of the open archive also contains several larger objects from our collections, including the Dowdeswell Pike. On the 11th of May, 1896, the body of a female pike was found floating on the surface of the Dowdeswell Reservoir to the east of Cheltenham. It has always been a mystery how the pike ended up in the reservoir. The most common story is that she was secretly introduced to the reservoir by an angry angler after rights to fish in the reservoir was to be restricted to town councillors. The Cheltenham Corporation Waterworks ensured the reservoir was continually well stocked with trout for private fishing only, unwittingly supplying the pike with an unlimited source of food. This enabled her to grow to the size she was when she died over 100 years ago. Suffragist banner. This banner was made by Mary Theodora Mills in support for women to be granted the right to vote. Mills was a vocal supporter of the suffragist movement, and she combined her political activism with her creativity. She wrote a children's book and several suffrage songs, including the Women's Battle Song, which was set to the tune of Onward Christian Soldiers. Her creativity is also displayed in her commissioning and making the Cheltenham Suffrage Banner, which she donated to the Wilson in 1931. Mills said that the fabric was collected by the members of the Cheltenham Suffrage Society. It isn't all sewn. Some of the details on the crest, such as lines in books and the pigeon's feathers, have been painted. Sledge. This 12-foot sledge would have been used to carry everything Edward Adrian Wilson would have needed when travelling to the South Pole. Initially, the sledge would have been hauled by ponies, but once the need to man hauling took over, Wilson would have hauled it using skis and ski poles. Man hauling a sledge was hard work and would have burnt around 6,000 calories per day. Posters. The Wilson holds an extensive collection of tourism posters advertising Cheltenham as the place to visit. Some of these are on display in the open archive. Highlander. This carved wooden figure of a Highlander stood in the High Street outside the premises of the tobacco and snuff retailer Frederick Wright Limited for over a century. A Highlander was commonly used by tobacconists to advertise snuff. Snuff is a smokeless tobacco which has been ground down and is to be sniffed. He was a popular figure in the town and was even depicted on souvenirs. Sophie Ryder. Sophie Ryder created this sculpture during her residency at the Wilson in 1997. Ryder's favourite mythical creatures are the Minotaur, based on the character from Greek mythology, and several dancing lady hares. She developed the lady hare as a female counterpart to the male Minotaur.